Reactor online. Sensors online. Weapons online. All systems nominal.
Hello, everyone. Carrie here with another episode of the Unicorn Company podcast. I feel like today we are going to have an interesting subject to cover, but I want to mention the news because there are some new things that have been released or teased at Adepticon recently. First, I want to mention the new Mercenaries Kickstarter that has been opened from Catalyst Game Labs. The Kickstarter is open until the 20th of April. It currently sits at over $4.6 million and has over 17,000 backers, leaving the Clan Invasion Kickstarter in the dust. I guess so much for the people griping about Catalyst's actions over the past year, claiming that they will boycott their products and that Catalyst will be a victim of the go woke, go broke thing. So, yeah, congratulations, Catalyst. I hope this goes smoothly for you. And I hope that you break 5 million. Next, we will have a few things here. We have the new Force Pack releases that were at Adepticon. The first of these is the Proliferation Cycle Force Pack. It has resculpts of the Mackie Gladiator Kyoto Battle Axe Icarus / Icarus 2. Ymir, and Firebee. All of these models look great, and most of them are at least usable in the Blakist era and forward, as well as in the Star League era, where they would have been far more common. Looking at the Master Unit list, the Firebee is still in use by three factions. The Ymir is extinct by the Ill-Clan era. The Icarus II is used by four different factions in the Ill-Clan era. The Battle Axe is apparently a Fed Sun stable, and in the 32nd century, the Kyoto is actually pretty widespread as far as who's using it at this point. The Gladiator, not to be confused with the clan version of the Gladiator, has a home with the Free Worlds League and two other factions. And of course, I did not move that cursor down to scroll down. And of course, the Mackie is completely extinct by the time of the Ill-Clan. The Force Pack retails for $44.99. It is an interesting concept as it gives us new minis for some of the more niche models and a couple semi-common ones, as well as a relatively common one. To me, this makes it more of a 4-mech Force Pack with two additional mechs that are only really usable if you're playing in prior eras. Next up is a 4-mech pack of the Urban Mech. This is after we had the company of the Urban Mechs. Now, mind you, though, this Force Pack has four different variants of the Armed Trash Can. This will obviously be an addition for anyone who enjoys this plucky little machine and comes in at $29.99. The final Lance Pack that was released at Adepticon was the Snord's Irregulars Lance Pack. This includes a Highlander for Rhonda Snord, Shorty Sneed's Rifleman Frankenmech, which I will be releasing a video about soon, giving my thoughts on the inclusion of Shorty's unique mech. It also has a Spartan, which originally debuted in one of the Snord's scenario packs, as well as a Guillotine. The Snord's Irregular box retails for $29.99. Catalyst also released a new Recognition Guide, Recognition Guide Classics. This is a print companion it's one of what are probably going to be a few print companions to the Clan Recognition Guides, and retails for $34.99. They also released Hexless. It's a hard word to say for some reason today. Hexless versions of the Aero-based battle mats, each version running $39.99. One thing I'm really excited for is the Alpha Strike Counter Pack. This pack includes six heavy cardstock punch cards, which have movement markers for your movement mods, trees, rivers, roads, and large blast templates, as well as a complete set of 15 buildings as seen in the Alpha Strike box. So if you have the Alpha Strike box and you're looking to double up on buildings, this is a great way. You also get more stuff as far as, compared to what was in the box. And I personally think this is really good for people who are just getting into tabletop games. As far as like Alpha Strike, it gives you a lot of stuff that you just probably don't have access to if you haven't played any other tabletop games before. This, oddly enough, is one of the things that excites me more than anything else in the releases, and it comes in at $24.99. I went off script, and then going off script left me in a weird position. Next up, at Adepticon, they introduced more plushie mechs. This time, there is a Lao Urby for $34.99, a Phoenix Hawk in either House Karita or 21st Centauri Lancer colors for $39.99, an Archer that you can get in either Kellhounds or Jamie Wolf's Livery for $44.99, and finally an Atlas that comes in either House Davian or Eridani Light Horse Paint Schemes for $49.99. Additionally, Catalyst has released a premium min. Well, they released two of them actually. But they released a premium Phoenix Hawk miniature. Comes in at $14.99 plus shipping. With the shipping cost, you're paying around the amount that it would cost to get a Lance pack, which would include three more mechs with the Phoenix Hawk. They also apparently released a Rifleman premium miniature as well, which I don't have a price for, but I have to assume is that same $14.99. And this brings me to the main topic tonight. It wasn't, or it isn't going after the QC on the premium minis. It seems like that had been resolved, but may be an issue again. It isn't about the cost in particular. That is a thing that's just a reality. The topic is about the intersectional relationship between Catalyst Game Labs, Ironwind Metals, and the company that they have making the premium miniatures, Monster Fight Club, and what the future might look like. So, first of all, let's talk Catalyst. Catalyst Game Labs, or CGL, was established as an alternative to the previous licensee to BattleTech, FanPro, and was put forward publicly as a company that would be a good shepherd for the BattleTech IP. The company was made up mostly of the creative team who had been working over at FanPro, and BattleTech was, in a way, languishing under FanPro's stewardship. FanPro had issues with delays, limited releases, and this only served to frustrate the player base. And this allowed Catalyst to take over the license and eventually get us to where we are today. The next player we have in this is Ironwind Metals. Ironwind Metals and its previous incarnation, Ralpartha, have been creating BattleTech minis for longer than anyone else. They used to cast in pewter and later switched to a lead-free pewter known as Reledium. They did experiment with some resin and metal hybrid miniatures, which were put out in Clan Star boxes, which I picked up as a teenager. But these models were lackluster at best. And since then, Ironwind Metals has gone on to produce quite a few con-exclusive and online-exclusive miniatures, all of which have been in metal, and many of which have been jumping mechs. The final player we have in this odd little production triangle is Monster Fight Club, who has been producing some of the new premium miniatures for Catalyst after Creative Juggernaut and CGL cut ties with one another. I guess an important thing to look at is the history of Catalyst or BattleTech itself and plastic miniatures. So the first time we saw plastic minis, or actually vinyl, was in the BattleTech 3rd Edition box set. This was followed by the CityTech box set. These minis were either one or two part models and led to interesting minis such as the Fatapult, the Bifurcated Marauder, and of course the saddest clan mechs ever, who all had their arms pointing down towards the ground, making them look very depressed, as though they knew they were about to lose the battle at Tewkiad. You were also able to buy the 3rd Edition box set miniatures as reinforcements, a reinforcements pack. In a way, this gave us precedent for the Lance packs that we would see in the future. Which brings me to those. The next time we saw those plastic minis was in the box set after Catalyst took over. This one had in it a number of Intersphere mechs with smaller than normal bases and are based on some of the old metal minis, which had been modified to work as single piece models. These minis and the range they spawned can be seen as a proto game of armored combat, dipping the toes into the water for the game. The mechs in the box set and the ones in the individual lance packs came with Alpha Strike cards, were one piece, and were done completely in plastic. The lance packs that these that had been released were recreated by Iron Wind Metals, the whole thing coming full circle in a way. And as far as I know, they still exist to this day, though I cannot imagine that they are the biggest sellers. The quality of the minis wasn't the best, and while in the 35th anniversary box there were two premium miniatures of a much higher quality, a Battlemaster and a Mad Cat, if I recall correctly, most of what we saw was subpar miniatures that came in the box set and lance packs. I do want to say that these lance packs did come in handy for what can only be described as con fodder. And what I mean by this is that they were wonderful for things such as paint and take events, as well as being painted in a simple paint job that would correspond to the great houses, and then being used in introductory games and events such as the Grinder, where someone may accidentally take one of the minis with them afterward. This brings us to the situation we find with Catalyst and Ironwind now, where Ironwind and its predecessor, Ralpartha, have made minis for the game since 1984, making it the longest professional relationship by a company with the franchise. When Catalyst produced the Lance Packs, it was generally understood that eventually the minis from the Lance Packs would be made in metal by Ironwind Metals. And in fact, they started with minis from the box set, such as the Catapult, and included the ability to make variants, such as the Catapult K2. At first, this looked like it would be a beautiful symbiotic relationship between the two, the merging of plastic and metal. That is until a third company stepped in, Creative Juggernaut. Creative Juggernaut stepped in to make premium miniatures in the new art style for Catalyst. In an ironic twist, after shipping, the majority of these models made by Creative Juggernaut would not only end up. I don't even know what I'm trying to write there. But in an ironic twist, the majority of these models made by Creative Juggernaut would not only end up being made by Ironwind Metals after the relationship between Creative Juggernaut and CGL ended, but the resin models from Creative Juggernaut would end up costing almost as much after shipping as metals from Ironwind Minis. Or Ironwind Minis from Ironwind Metals. One would think that once the relationship between CGL and Creative Juggernaut dissolved, the Catalyst would rely on IWM for their premium miniatures, given their history and the fact that Ironwind has made dozens of convention exclusive miniatures in the past for Catalyst and before that CGL, or before that FanPro. Instead, Catalyst brought another company on board. This company is called Monster Fight Club. I have to say that their quality has been hit and miss. So you had the experience of the Hammerhead and the Mad Cat TC both having print line issues in the resin cast minis. And now I have seen posts recently of the Phoenix Hawk and the Rifleman, which were available at Adepticon, and the Rifleman is grossly out of scale. Apparently the Phoenix Hawk, the legs are just not the greatest either. And it seems odd that CGL would feel the need to turn once again to another outside company to make the premium miniatures, but they did. So where I feel it starts to get really absurd, though, is the latest offerings, as premium miniatures, the Phoenix Hawk and the Rifleman. While they aren't absurd miniatures to produce in and of themselves, it is awkward when you consider that there are minis that are perfect for the format of limited run, such as mechs, which are used by characters, and because of this, they're unique. Much like the Wolfhound 2C, Yenlo Wang, Shorty Sneed's Rifleman, and so forth. These are the kind of minis which shouldn't be making the rounds, as it were, in force packs, but instead, because of their unique loadouts and the limited number of them needed by players, unique mechs are perfect for being premium miniatures. Now, overall, what it feels like to me is that Iron Man Metals is getting slowly getting the squeeze from Catalyst, where they could instead utilize the relationship that they have had for 40 years and cultivate it further to allow both companies to thrive. Catalyst has instead decided to go with Monster Fight Club. Now, finally, I did run a small poll on Twitter to ask people about their opinion on the relationship between Iron Man Metals and Catalyst, and if they feel like they're being phased out in favor of plastics. Now, the majority of respondents, 63%, said that they don't believe this, but that means that 37% of the respondents believe that they will be phased out. And I admit that I am a person who believes that as well. Especially with the recent release of the Phoenix Hawk and Rifleman as premium miniatures, when we've seen Force Pack mechs being released by Catalyst as metal models, and they've been doing a fine job at it. I know this has been a pretty short subject, and I would love to hear from you though and get your opinion. If you want to discuss it, then feel free to join us on Facebook at the Unicorn Company Podcast Facebook group and share your thoughts. Now, before we get into the mech tech segment today, I do want to go ahead and talk about our sponsor real quick, Fortress Miniatures and Games. Bobby over at Fortress runs an excellent business, and they have everything from the newest releases in source books and miniatures to hard-to-find items that have been published or released in the past. Check them out at fortressminiaturesandgames.com. Also, if you would like to support the podcast directly, then you should check out our Patreon at patreon.com/unicorncompany. You'll get early access to our videos that we try to release every week, and also I try to have other perks in there as well. That's I don't know what else to say about it. All right, so today, as far as our mech tech, let's go ahead and get into that. I'm not good at selling myself. So, like I said, if you want to help support it, feel free. And if you need some models, go over to Fortress Miniatures and Games and check them out. So today we'll be talking about the very mech that I mentioned earlier, the Phoenix Hawk. I don't plan on covering every variant, as it is one of the most modified designs in existence, but I will be covering a few, roughly into the Civil War era. Now, just to be clear, we won't be looking at any of the offshoot designs, so we won't be looking at the 2C or any of the offshoots, such as the Land Air Mechs or experimental units, which modify what the Phoenix Hawk is at its core. The Phoenix Hawk first gained popularity within the Star League Defense Force, which tended to field entire units of the same mech. During the Second Reunification War, as well as the Amara coup, as units tended to become more mixed, the Phoenix Hawk found itself to be an able command mech for scout lances composed mostly of Stingers and Wasps. This trend continued on to the Succession Wars, where the mech found a home and a role as a recon and scout command mech. The baseline Phoenix Hawk is the PXH Dash one. This mech comes in at 45 tons and is capable of top speeds up to 97.2 kilometers an hour due to its powerful GM 270 fusion engine. The mech's mobility is enhanced with the inclusion of six jump jets, allowing it to jump up to 180 meters. And for protection, it carries 8 tons of standard armor and is cooled by 10 standard heat sinks. The mech carries a variety of weapons, making it effective against light mechs, vehicles, and infantry. For anti-infantry work, it has a pair of arm-mounted machine guns, one in each arm. These are paired with a medium laser in each arm as well, and finally, a large laser is mounted in the right arm. This version of the Phoenix Hawk has a battle value of 1,041. Now, let's take a look at a few SLDF variants of the mech. Actually, a few variants. Because we have quite a few things to do here. Because there's also quite a few house variants. So let's take a look at a few variants of the mech. These variants are intended for use either between the houses or at least three of them, or two of them were intended for use by royal units. We're going to start with the PXH-1B. This mech shares its overall appearance with the one, but heavily upgrades the design. By using an extra light engine and an endosteel chassis, it frees up weight to allow for the large laser to be replaced with an extended range particle cannon, and mounts an extended range large laser and right torso. All the machine gun ammo is mounted in a case protected bay, making the mech easier to salvage and helping to protect the pilot in case of ammunition explosions. And the BV of the 1B is 1512. The Starleague had another variant of the mech and upgraded the 1B with the designation 1C. This variant swaps out the ER PPC for a then experimental snub-nose PPC and uses the freed up tonnage to add more armor protection to the mech. It has a BV of 1443. Comstar, having a large number of 1B models in storage, upgraded the design for the Battle of Tukian. This model, the 1BC, replaces the ER PPC with an ER large laser and adds a NARC missile beacon to the left arm, with 3 tons of ammo in the left torso, which is protected with case. Machine guns were replaced with flamers in order to make it more effective against battle armor, and the 1BC has a battle value of 1174. Each great house had their own versions of the one, PXH1. House Karita has two early versions, the 1K and the 1KK. The 1K is based on the one, removes all the jump jets in favor of 3 additional heat sinks and 1.5 tons of armor. The 1K also removes the machine guns and replaces them with a single small laser mounted in the mech center torso, as a battle value of 1073. The advanced version of the one, used in the Starleague era by House Karita, designated the 1KK, very creative. It does not have a listed battle value, but it swaps out the large laser with an ER large laser, giving it better range capabilities, and carries as secondary weapons a pair of medium lasers. It has a total of 11 double heat sinks to handle the heat payload of all of its weapons. House Davian, Davian, however you want to pronounce it, also has a variant of the Phoenix Hawk, the 1D. This model of the Phoenix Hawk removes the machine guns and ammo and replaces them with two heat sinks. This makes the mech have a better heat profile while reducing its anti-infantry capabilities and has a battle value of 1083. Next, we get into the Phoenix Hawk PXH-2. From what I can tell from the date given, it looks like it was a Starleague variant. It is built for electronic warfare and it removes the machine guns and adds a Guardian ECM suite and a half ton of armor. The advanced equipment gives it a battle value of 1145 and also makes it immune to ammo explosions, obviously. Next, we have the 2K, which upgrades the weapon in the 1K with an ER large laser in its arm, and a small laser mounted in the center torso with a medium laser added to each side torso. The mech is able to bear this heat load with the use of 12 double heat sinks, and it has 8.5 tons of ferrofibrous armor, and it has a battle value of 1271. House Davian later developed the 3D. This model of the Phoenix Hawk is built on an endosteel chassis and powered by an extra light engine. It has formidable firepower with a pair of ER large lasers and a pair of medium pulse lasers, one of each in the arms. The machine guns are once again removed and adds two double heat sinks while upgrading the original ones to double heat sinks as well, and it has a battle value of 1148. The 3K is literally almost identical to the 3D, except it uses ferrofibrous armor and has a battle value of 1359. House Merrick has the 3M, almost identical to the 3D as well, but it also mounts an anti-missile system, and the 3M gets a battle value of 1307. Then we have the 2S. It's another clan invasion version of the mech. It is powered by an extra light engine and is cooled by 10 double heat sinks while also improving protection with the addition of a ton of armor, which has been upgraded to ferrofibrous. It is armed with a large pulse laser in the right arm and keeps the medium lasers and machine guns of the original model. The ammunition is now protected with case, and the 3S has masked to give it even more speed. This variant has a battle value of 1237. One other Davian variant I forgot to mention, the 3PL, is a brutal close-range fighter armed with two large pulse lasers, two medium pulse lasers, and a pair of ER small lasers. They are linked to a targeting computer, making it deadly accurate, and this mech has a battle value of 1244. Overall, I think that one is probably the scariest of that generation, because the next one we have is the 4L, which is a Capellan variant. It's built on an extra light engine, an endosteel chassis, and uses a standard engine to power it. The mech is armed with an ER large laser in its right arm and carries in each arm an ER medium laser and machine gun. For protection, it uses stealth armor, making it harder to hit at range. And to use it, it does carry an ECM suite and has a battle value of 1399. Now, I'm going to be jumping ahead to the clan variants, as there are a ton of variants for this mech, and I do want to cover the clan ones real quick because they did refit it. The Phoenix Hawk C is a full-on clan rebuild. It is built with an endosteel chassis powered by an extra light engine, has a medium pulse laser and an ultra autocannon 2 in each of its side torsos. It also has a head and center torso mounted machine gun with a battle value of 1396. The C2 is a Mixtec machine. It was built on an endosteel chassis and powered by an inner sphere extra light engine. It carries an AP Gauss rifle and medium pulse laser in each arm. It also has a large pulse laser in the right arm and uses a targeting computer to make it even more accurate, essentially a ClanTech armed PL variant. It also has a supercharger to increase its ground speed and has a battle value of 2187. All right, so let's take a look at these in Alpha Strike. So, give me one second here. All right, so first we have the PXH-1, our baseline Phoenix Hawk. It is type battle mech, size 2, TMM of 2, with 12 jump for movement. It is a skirmisher with attack values of 2 at short and medium. It does not have any specials, and it comes in at 26 points, which is pretty bargain basement for a medium mech. Now, mind you, though, it's essentially your base technology, so it's not going to be the most upgraded or amazing thing you're going to see on the battlefield. Next, we have the 1B. The 1B, or special variant of the Phoenix Hawk. This model is 2 points more, 28 points, and is type battle mech, size 2, TMM of 2, 12 jump. The mech, once again, is a skirmisher and has attack value of 2 at all ranges. It has an overheat of 1, 4 armor and 2 structure, with specials of case and ECM, giving it more utility, but arguably roughly the same or less survivability as the base model. After that, we have the 1C, another special variant of the Phoenix Hawk. This one comes in at 31 points. It's a battle mech, size 2, TMM of 2, with 12 jump for movement. A striker, short of 3, medium of 2, and long of 1, with 1 overheat. Now, this one has 5 armor and 2 structure. It's also equipped with case and ECM, basically an upgrade of the 1B. After that, we have Comstar's take on the upgrade of the 1B, the 1BC. This Phoenix Hawk is battle mech, size 2, TMM of 2, with movement of jump, 12 jump again. The mech is a skirmisher with attack values of 2 at short and medium range and 1 at long with no overheat. It has 4 armor and 2 structure and specials of case, ECM, and S-NARC, giving it even more utility as it can supplement its damage values with explosive NARC pods. This mech comes in at 27 points. Now, the 1K is the first of the Kuriton Phoenix Hawks, and it's Battle Mech size 2, TMM of 2, moves 12 but does not jump. Has a short range of 3, medium of 2 with no overheat, has armor of 5 and structure of 4 with a special of energy, giving it far more survivability than the previous models. The 1KK is an upgrade to the 1K. It's Battle Mech size 2, TMM of 2, movement of 12. It upgrades its attack values with 3 at short and medium, 1 at long with no overheat. The 1KK once again has 5 armor and 4 structure with special of energy, once again making it extremely survivable for its size, and comes in at 33 points. Now, House Davian's variant of the Phoenix Hawk, the 1D, is a Battle Mech size 2, TMM of 2 with movement of 12 jump, and is a skirmisher. It has a point value of 26 points. The mech has attack values of 2 at short and medium, no longer overheat value. The 1D has armor and structure of 4 with a special of ENE, making it once again more survivable than the Star League variants at 26 points. Now, the PXH2 model of the Phoenix Hawk is the first that moves out of the 1 series, and it is an evolution of the design. It's type Battle Mech size 2, team of 2, movement of 12 jump. Has attack value of 2 at short and medium, no longer overheat value. Has armor of 5, structure of 4 with ECM and ENE. It was introduced in 2599 and was an able upgrade of the mech that is more survivable and able than the original variants that the Star League Defense Force was using, and it comes in at 30 points even. Next, you have the Phoenix Hawk 2K. It's an upgrade of the 1K and 1KK. It's type Battle Mech size 2, TMM of 2, movement of 12, and once again, it leaves off the ability to jump. Has attack values of 4 at short, 3 at medium, and 1 at long, with no overheat value. Has 5 armor and 4 structure with a special of energy. This is a solid upgrade of the prior K and KK models of the mech at 34 points. The 3D variant of the Phoenix Hawk is a Davian upgrade once again. It's type Battle Mech size 2, TMM of 2 with movement of 12. The mech redefines its role as a striker, much like the Star League Defense Force did, with attack of 3 at short and medium ranges of 2 and medium ranges and long range of 2. Has no overheat value. The mech has 4 armor and 2 structure with a special of anti-missile system, and it may hit harder than the Kurita one, but it does come at the cost of survivability. The 3K, which was the next version that House Kurita put out, has much of the same as the Davian variant, but it's far more survivable. It's type Battle Mech, size 2, TMM of 2. Has 12 jump, a first for a Kurita variant. It has short medium of 3 with a long of 2, no overheat. The mech has 5 armor and 2 structure with a special of energy, and it comes in at 32 points. And of course, you can see here the Phoenix Hawk is getting slightly more deadly with each incarnation. The Merrick variant of the 3M is the 3M is type Battle Mech size 2, TMM of 2 with 12 jump, and is a striker as well. The mech has damage values of 2 at every range with an overheat of 1. It has 4 armor and 2 structure with specials of case and anti-missile system, making it feel like a compromise between the D and the K variants for 27 points. Now, the 3S is House Steiner's upgrade. It's Battle Mech size 2, TMM of 3. With a movement of 16 and has 12 jumps. So obviously House Steiner was trying to make this thing a little bit faster, and more maneuverable. Excuse me. The mech has attack values of 3 at short, 2 at medium, and no longer overheat. It has armor of 5 and structure of 2 with specials of anti-missile system, case, and jump weak 1. This is an interesting model of the mech as it makes it even more maneuverable on the ground at the cost of, it's not as maneuverable in the air, and it has a point value of 37. Then we have What I have to say is probably my favorite of the Inner Sphere design Phoenix Hawks, and that is the 3PL. This variant is a Davian upgrade of the machine. It's type battle mech, size 2, TMM of 2, with movement of 12. It has attack values of 4 at short and medium, and no overheat or long range. 5 armor and 2 structure with special of energy for 34 points. Now, this one right here, I think, is probably the best version of the Inner Sphere Phoenix Hawk. And as you can see, it's literally, this design is literally getting better and better and better as it goes along. Then we have the 4L House Leal's first variant of the mech. It's type battle mech, size 2, TMF 2, 12 jump. And once again, it's a striker. It has attack values of 2 at short and medium, with 1 at long and no overheat. The mech has armor and structure of 4 each and has specials of ECM and stealth. The stealth ability makes it much harder to hit as it's moving around at ranges, and it comes in at 35 points. Then we have the clan refits. The first refit is the Phoenix Hawk C. It's type battle mech, size 2, TMM of 2 with movement of 12. It's a striker with attack values of 3 at short and medium and 1 at long. Has armor of 5 and structure of 2 with a special of case. This variant comes in at 31 points and is a good refit of the design. And yeah, as you can probably tell, looking at it, it's also probably the inspiration for the 2C. Now the C2, which was the second clan refit, excuse me, of the base design, feels very much like a mix of Steiner and PL variants. It's type battle mech, size 2, TMM of 3 with movement of 16 and 12 jump. It is a striker and has attack values of 4 at short and medium ranges with long of 2 and no overheat. It has armor of 4, a structure of 2 with a special of jump W, jump weak 1. It is a good striker for its size and is quite capable. Mean, overall, in Alpha Strike, the Phoenix Hawk is a decently maneuverable mech. In the earlier eras and later eras, it's pretty much average. And you can see its role, like in games in the Succession Wars, where it is a lance commander for recon lances. It moves into more of a harasser striker role in the modern era. So yeah, I mean, it's good design, and it stood up to the test of time. It's one of those things where, looking at it, you can see as time goes on, it just gets better and better. So it's pretty much it. I did want to check something real quick. So I'm curious who can use that. Okay, so pretty much nobody that I play. But if you play Worcester Goons, it's available to you. So there is that. I was hoping House Davian would have it so I could pair it up with the PL in Alpha Strike and just, yeah. That would have been an interesting pairing. So that is it for today. Like I said, if you want to support the podcast, you can go to our sponsor, FortressMiniaturesAndGames.com. Tell them that Carrie sent you, or you can go to the podcast if you or the Patreon if you want to support the podcast directly. And our Patreon is Patreon.com/UnicornCompany. You can donate whatever you'd like. To the podcast as a patron, but to be fair, there are a few different patron levels that do get you different rewards. So that is it for today. Y'all have a great day, great evening, great whatever it is where you are. This is Carrie
I'm gonna find my meaning, I can make a change. I wanna play the game. You wanna sink or swim? I'm gonna go down swinging. Look deep within. I get lost in the field. Just need a win. I'm going off.